אתם מאזינים לפרק נוסף של הפודקאסט לאן הלכת. היום ראיינתי את מאיה שווין. היא גרה ברמת הגולן, משפחה דתית ביישוב חילוני, נולדה בווייטנאם. קיצור, תמיד ראיתי אותה בפייסבוק ושאלתי את עצמי, מה הסיפור מאחורי האישה המיוחדת הזאת? היא ממש שונה מהסטריאוטיפים שאנחנו מכירים, אני לא יודע לאיזה קופסה להכניס אותה. ואני ממש שמח שהסכימה להתראיין, אני מאוד נהניתי מהראיון איתה. בגלל שיותר נוח לה לדבר באנגלית, אז דיברנו בעיקר באנגלית. ואני מקווה שגם אתם תהנו להכיר את האישה המדהימה הזאת, לקבל השראה מהסיפור שלה, ושיהיה לכם המשך יום קסום. ברוכים הבאים לפודקאסט לאן הלכת, והפעם בפרק הזה אני הולך לאתגר את עצמי ולקיים שיחה באנגלית עם מאיה, שהיא עוד מעט תציג את עצמה. אז תאחלו לה בהצלחה, לי בהצלחה, שאני לא אעשה יותר מדי פדיחות באנגלית, אני מבטיח להיות מובן, זה אני יודע שאולי האנגלית שלי לא משהו, אבל it's understandable. So, let's start. Maya, thank you for coming, and can you introduce yourself and shortly, what are you doing today?
Okay, hi, Kulam, sorry, hi everyone. I'm kind of missing between Hebrew and English at the moment, so yeah, don't mind me. And yes, so hi there. My name is Maya, Maya Chauvin, and well, I'm from Israel. to be exact, I'm a software engineer in Microsoft, and I live in Ramat Golan. So you know, it's a very
you live in
far
Ramat Golan.
Away. Yeah.
Ah.
Yes.
It's just every detail that you add. Let me say, okay, what I know about Maya. I know Maya from Facebook. I see a woman with a East Asia kind of face, and she works in Microsoft, and she understands Hebrew, and I understand that there is a story behind it, and now you are adding Ramat Golan. Like, every detail that you are adding is like, wow, I must, this sound interesting. I'm really curious what is going on there. Okay, Ramat Golan. Where in Ramat Golan?
I live in Mushava, the small Mushava, called Kismatvi. It's like 5 minutes from Kasrin, if you know
okay.
Kasrin
yeah,
Attica.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So anyway, yeah, like you say, I'm from East Asia, so I'm originally from Vietnam. Yeah, how many people here probably at some point travel to Vietnam? Why another? Because I often get the question like, hey, I've been to Vietnam. Oh, what? Like, it's so beautiful, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, great. good for you. Anyway, so yeah, so I've been living in Israel, wow, since 2010. So it's more than a decade, like more than like 13 years. Yeah, so I'm married and I have three kids, three little ones, like three really little ones.
Wow.
We live in Ramat Golan. We live in a small Moshava, and we the Moshava we live in is like a non-religious Moshava, and we're the only family that is religious in that Moshava. So I'm like, it got very interesting. So
yeah,
yep. So I also converted to Judaism, and that's also another story because it's a very interesting story. Actually, it's not very long. It's short and interesting story how I got converted. But then we'll see how we got to this, go along with the podcast. But yeah, so
okay.
I studied in, yeah, so let me just finish. I studied computer science in Israel and I studied in Hebrew. I get here.
Just a moment. You learn computer science after you come to Israel, after 2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I started studying computer science, I think, in 2011 in Mikala, Tel Aviv, Yafo.
Okay.
Academy in Academy Tel Aviv, Yafo College.
Okay.
Yeah, so, anyway, so I studied. I'm the only foreign student they have. And I was studying together with everyone else, which is Israel, and the whole program in Hebrew. And I have zero Hebrew back then.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the interesting experience also. Like I got to the school and I have like 3 months before the school start, and the professor told me, you have 3 months to get your level until understanding at least some basic Hebrew in order to understand the questions and all the lectures. And so I took the book, you know, the Hebrew book for Olim Chadashim. And I start a blog. It's still on, by the way. I start a WordPress blog. Every day I will write something in Hebrew, like a whole essay in Hebrew, and learn about I wrote whatever I learned today and that, and then do it for the whole 3 months. And by the end of the 3 months, I'm able to write, read and write, like really read and write Hebrew. And then I like, okay, for speaking and listening, I will not be able to get it on top of 3 months, so I just go along with it and see how it goes. Yeah.
So and what is your position in Microsoft?
I'm a senior software engineer in working in the group on industry AI, which we are doing developing solution applications for industry specific, from like a application like. Now we're moving more into AI, like open AI, you know, the whole things with AI. Yeah,
Ah,
but
so
the
you are working with the people that are going to destroy our world. Ah, no problem.
no, I'm trying to keep them to provide them a good UI in order to keep them away from destroying the user experience of
So you are in the UI of the
yeah.
But we are less technical today, more about your personal story. So I have so many questions. So let's start from the beginning. How was it to be born and grown up in Vietnam? Wow, what a
well,
question.
you know, like anyone else, I mean, I
Yeah,
work
like in Israel, you didn't have a public
no,
transportation in Shabbat and you wanted the synagogue, like all of us here in Israel. It's very similar to what we are doing in Israel.
no, they're actually not well, that's the completely opposite of Israel, I must say. Like I grew up I think in the 90s when you know the Soviet Union has collapsed. So we are a little bit less communist than it used to be. It was pretty nice. Like we don't have phone, we don't have everything, people still talk to each other face to face and not on Facebook. So yeah, I live in Vietnam. I grew up in a small town near the beach. I'm not sure if you can ever know it, but it's called Nha Trang, and it's one near. It was next to the sea, to the Pacific Ocean Sea, and it's a very beautiful place. It's a lot of tourists there, and yeah, and every summer, every day, our favorite activity is go to the beach and look at the sea. Not like in Tel Aviv because the sea there is really deep, so you can swim, but the wave can kill you. So you don't really, yeah. So I
And
live in that.
the sea in your village was the sun rise where there or the sunset?
The sun rise there. It's the Pacific Ocean, but it's next is the east side of the Pacific Ocean. So
So every morning you had a great sunrise.
Yeah, if you wake up, if I wake up early, but I only wake up enough time to go to school. So, you know, it's like you saw the sunrise, but you don't appreciate it until you don't see it anymore.
Wow, cool. And like, can you tell us about your family? How is it? How many sisters and brothers do you
Hi.
have?
Yeah, my family have five people. I mean, my mom, my dad, and I have another two siblings. My sister is the oldest one, and I have a middle brother. Three of us right now is kind of living together, like around the clock. I live in Israel. They both live in Australia. My brother live in Brisbane, and my sister live in Melbourne. And my parents still live in Vietnam. They don't want to go anywhere. So
In the same village or in Vietnam they also moved?
No, same thing. It's not a village, it's a city. So
Ah, it's a city,
it's a
okay.
city. Yeah, it's a tourist city. So we kind of Mainly we talk to each other, I think it's on Facebook. But
Okay.
my sister and my brother is really older than me. Like they are like 12 years older than me. My
Ah,
sister
okay.
was 12 years. So I don't know. It's sometimes feel like I'm the only child in the family because when I grown up, they already grown up and they already like they
Okay.
have their own life
Yeah.
and so on. Yeah.
I'm also have a similar story. I'm the youngest in my family, and my brothers are much older than me. So I can
Yeah.
understand what you are saying. Like, what was the tradition of the family? Like, I don't know anything about Vietnam, so I'm trying to say, can you try to explain to someone that grew up in Israel what it means to grow up in Vietnam? Like, things that are different, things that are similar.
Well, let's where do I started with the culture different. I would say the culture is different is huge. Like in Israel, you know, like I think kids here are likely to go to talk to their parents in a more freer manner.
Yeah.
For us, in my family, it's pretty tradition. So we talk. Well, my dad is like the one always, right? And then it's come to my mom, and then it go to my brother, and then my sister and me.
Wow. And you
So,
are the youngest, so you are the last right in the house.
yeah. So basically, I don't have any rights. You can say something like that. Yeah,
Wow.
it's like okay. In the family, you need to listen to your dad, and we talk to each other in a very respect manner. Like we don't go against the dad. And let's put it aside that whether it's a good practice or not. But in general, that's how it works. And the girls are expected to behave in a set up manner, like dress kind of.
Okay.
Tradition like this. My family is it's very tradition. It's kind of similar to a religious, but not
Yeah.
like a religious family. Like we girls are supposed to behave like a girl. You know, I mean, a lot of people will probably hate that thing when you say that girls are supposed to behave like a girl.
Yeah.
But yeah. So and yeah, we. My dad is a teacher. And my mom is a doctor, so it's even double things that we have some kind of like a social standard to look like. So we have to behave like we are, and
Ah,
we in a
okay.
very good manner because my dad is a teacher that's supposed to teach me more. So we need to
Ah, okay.
show that kind of. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Like when yeah, my brother and my sister they are like the oldest one. And they both went to very good school, so no pressure, no pressure.
Okay. And what do you remember from school and friends? How was this thing in Vietnam?
Well, let's say in Vietnam, we are really focused, especially in my family, we focus on studying a lot. Because well, my dad is a teacher, so everything is emphasis to study well. You don't have to do your home household like chore like housework, because your mom will probably do everything for you because you just need to study.
Wow, okay.
And yeah, so we, I well, me and my brother, we both study in what you call the special the gifted school like in Israel. Similar to gifted school in Israel, like we both got into the gifted school of
Ah,
the
בית ספר
province.
למחוננים בעברית? בית ספר למחוננים?
Again, kilo mashul for people who have a higher IQ or something.
It's מחוננים נברו. Okay.
And but it's a little bit different. We got into some examination, and then they will decide we pass the examinations for certain subjects, then we'll move to different subjects to study. So my brother study in math. I study in literature and later I moved to languages like
Okay.
English. So yeah, so our school is pretty small because that's like a gifted school. So the school were like a class will only have about maximum of 15 people in one class.
Okay.
So we know each other. We know on the teacher, and we also have some like every month we have some kind of like allowance for gifted students, so we got an
Okay.
allowance, but the competition is so huge because Every 3 months, they will do some evaluation, and if you fell below the barrier of the grade, they kick you off the school. You move to a
Wow.
normal school, and if you fail a certain level of the grade, you don't get any more allowance, or the level, like how much money you will get, will be reduced. And
Wow.
so yeah, like you have 15 people in the same class, and everyone have to study like crazy. We have to study every day. From I think from 7 until 11:30 every day, and finish
What?
including
What 11:40
Saturday.
at the 9 p.m.? Like,
No. 11:30 in the noon time. We study from 6:30 to 11:30 in the noon time, and then
why
after
did you
that,
start the morning so early? You started to learn at 6 o'clock in the morning?
6:30. Oh, 6:30 to 6:30 to 6:45. Is the
Like in Israel, we
I
started at 8, and people, as
yeah
students, get very tired to school when you ask them to come in 8. Did
that's
you
what I'm
start?
saying, that you guys have a very good life. It's like I have to go to school at 6:30, and then at 7 we start the first lesson already. So
Okay.
yeah, the first
Wow.
like yeah, so
But then you
when my
finished early. You fi like to finish before 12 o'clock. It feels for me early to finish school.
Yeah, I we finish at 12, 11, 11, 11:15. We go home. We have lunch because that's the normal thing. So we have lunch with the family, and then we start to study again at 2 o'clock.
Ah,
We go
okay.
back to school and
So it's only a
study
break.
again.
You don't finish at 11.
No, we don't finish at 11, and then but for let's say for younger age, you can choose not to have the afternoon school, but they say I don't see anyone that don't have that. Anyway, maybe on elementary school. So yeah. So after that, we go back to school at 2. I think of 1:30. I don't remember exactly anymore. 1:30 or 2, and then we study into 4, and then after that, we have private tutor, the extra
Okay.
class. Until 9 p.m. and
9 p.m.
then go.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that even get even harder when you get into ninth grade, which is the grade, the bridge grade before the examination from secondary to high school. And then from high school to university, you have another period like that for 3 years to study really high at night time and ready for the national examination. So
Okay, did you like what you learned in school?
I think even high in secondary school, I really like math. I really like math, and literature. I used to like literature a lot, but then it's in school because I was put inside the class for literature, and the teachers kind of like force you to go according to like a
Okay.
certain form, so it kind of killed my creativity. So I like nah, I don't like it anymore. But yeah, I like study. I like all the subject that I study most. The most of
Okay,
it
it's
is
good.
math.
I think if pupils in Vietnam in the schools that you described don't like to learn, wow, it sounds very suffering if someone don't like the system and learning and all that. Wow.
Yeah,
Wow,
I
it's so
say
different for
we
me that I'm just
no,
shocked. Like, okay.
I say
And I'm
I
sure.
think that would change, but I don't know, that back then at that time. So yeah.
And also, I'm sure that there was very important to respect the teacher, like you said about
Yeah. So
wow.
basically there's no scenario where he like the parent will go to the teacher and shout at them for like for saying something to the kid, or for doing things wrong to the kid, or the kid think that the teacher is speaking wrongly. There's no way like that in my generation. And in my time, teacher is the one only right, and the parent always like if you got into the situation where the parents are where you and the teacher have an argument or some sort, the parents will always stay with the teacher.
Wow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
Vietnam.
good and bad in a way, but yeah,
Yeah, of
let's just
course. Yeah. We can say that it's very different from Israel. This is for sure.
Yeah, it's very different from Israel.
Wow.
My kids teacher was so shocked to see that I came to the teacher, and then I was completely agree with them about what they say about my kids and what they need to improve. And they like, yeah, you sure you want that? This is what you want. And
wow. Do you have any remember of things that you come to Israel and you saw, and then you were shocked that how people behave in Israel about something because it's
oh,
so different
come on.
From Vietnam?
Wow, I have so many things to tell you about that.
Okay, give us one too. What's going on in your one?
I would say, in 2010, when I first came here, the first thing I was shocked is how people were speaking to each other. Like when we talk to each other in Vietnamese or in like we very polite, you don't really hear that we are raising our voice or we are like shouting or stuff like that or talking. We're talking really nice. Sometimes it's a little bit too much and we go around the time, but
okay.
Politeness is going on the way. But initially, the first time I got here, I got into the bus, and then I saw the bus driver and the like, one lady was talking to the bus driver, and they were like kind of literally shouting in my sense. And they're like, oh my God, they are shouting. I think, are they okay? Are they fighting or something? And my husband was just saying like, no, they're just discussing. They're not doing anything. They're just talking in like normal. I was like, how can you talk normal like that? That was my first culture shock. And then the second thing is like, if in Israel, like if you don't like something, you need to talk like really directly.
Yeah, of course.
Be frank. We don't do that. Like we always talk like nicely. We say we think about it in here. So when I got into the store, and I don't want people to come to me and try to sell me something like a closed store. And then I just saw that the sales person just go after me, like really pushing. Like I went, no, leave me alone. I don't like. But I don't want to be like rude, so
yeah.
I just answer nicely. And like also random people on the bus would come and talk to me and say, are you Thailandi, like are you from Philippines, are you from China, stuff like that? And like we don't do that, but anyway.
Wow. Yeah, okay, I'm sure we will have more stories like that. Wow, yeah, it's so different cultures. Okay, so until when you were a child and going to school and university, did you thought about the future? You thought you will marry and live in Vietnam and be an engineer in Vietnam. What was your thought as a child?
Okay, let's go back to when
I'm sure that you didn't imagine that you will marry and live in Ramat Golan. This wasn't your future
no,
expectation.
No, never, ever. Like it never crossed my mind. I don't even know that there was some country called Israel in the sense of the like a country really, but I would keep it for that because I don't want to make it very like not nice on the podcast. But anyway, let's put it this way: when I was in high school, I have no idea there was even when I was 24, 23, 24, I have no idea that Israel exists as a country. Again, no idea. Like I heard about Israel on the news several times, but never thought that it was a standalone country.
Okay.
Israel never crossed my mind. And in high school, my first university I went to is business management.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied business management. I also have a bachelor degree on that. I never thought that one day I would become a software engineer or even writing code, even though I started writing code in Pascal when I was 15 at part of the program in secondary school. So in secondary school, we have a program that whoever gets into the program and do the program will get some extra point for the examination to the high school. So there was certain program that you can choose. One is to like to do tailoring, like you sewing. And one you can do like a carpenter, that mainly for guys. And one you can make like art and craft. This is
Okay.
for girls only. And I was in the art and craft because I have no other choice. They don't let me go for the carpenter because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
So and then I was there. I like it, but I don't really like it that much. And then they jump up and they say, okay, we open another one called computer programming. And this will also count for going there. And whoever want to do it, just volunteer because we don't have people coming there. And that was my first time when I
So,
joined the program for a
but in
computer.
LinkedIn you can write, I'm programming from age 5 or 6. I don't know. For LinkedIn, it's a good story. LinkedIn from a young age, programming from a young.
Yeah, in Israel it's much better. I remember my husband told me that he got to his computer when he was 6 or something, like 5 or 6. And it
Okay.
was, yeah, I saw a photo of him sitting in front of the computer, so he was very naughty. But anyway,
Okay.
so that was the story. I learned how to tie with the computer. I learned how to do the triple by scan. And then I got to university, got to high school, and I stopped with that. They don't expect girls to play computer. And
Okay.
then I got to my business management. I finished high school. I finished university. I went to Singapore. I migrated to Singapore to live. I thought that I'm going to live in Singapore or maybe move to Australia
Just a
later.
moment. Why did you move to Singapore from Vietnam? Is it popular to do that?
No, just because I don't want to live in Vietnam.
Okay. So
Now
people.
it's more now it's more popular to move to from Vietnam to Singapore. But back then it was harder. If you don't study in Singapore or you don't study overseas, it's really hard for you to find a job in Singapore, especially for Vietnamese who study inside Vietnam. So it was kind of funny because I got there. I always wanted to live there, but I never do anything. And then I went there for a tour, like a just to visit my relatives there, because my brother got married to a Singaporean, so we have the relatives to visit. So I went there to visit them, and then I kept 2 weeks, and then I just applied to some job in Singapore, and I got it. So they,
Ah, cool.
yeah, and then they, and then after 2 weeks, I moved back, and then I start to pack everything, and then I moved to Singapore.
Okay.
But again, at that point, I was like, okay, I'm probably this is my life setup. I'm going to live in Singapore. I probably will move to Australia later on. Probably do another master's degree in business or something. And that should be still my life for good.
Yeah,
What? Who
okay.
knows? But never know what happened, you
It's
know, you
it
know.
sounds for me like a fourth Gump. Life is like a box of chocolate. You can never know what you'll get.
Yeah, and then I got on my very first 6 months. After 6 months, I was in Singapore. I met my husband in
Okay,
Singapore.
and then everything changed. Okay, now we're
Everything
listening.
changed. Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Well, let's put this in his way. He would tell you that if he the one who tell you the story, it will be 4 seasons of How I Met Your Mother. If it's me who tell you the story, it will be the first chapter, and that's it for How I Met Your Mother.
Okay, so you are with us
But
here. Maybe I will do a podcast with him, and then it will be in Hebrew. It will be more convenient to our listeners. But what is your story?
exactly.
What is your side about this?
Okay, my side of the story is that I have a phone and I sell it on eBay, and he was the highest bidder for that phone. And then we met
Okay.
each other to exchange the phone, and then he got me at the warranty of for the phone. I
What?
mean, basically, we met each other to exchange the phone,
Okay.
and then after we exchanged the phone and the money, then he asked me out for a date, and that's how I got it.
Do you understand why he did it?
I asked him. He just said because I look smart and cute.
Wow. Wow, he's a special guy. Okay, now I hope I will have the chance to interview him too. But he's Jewish from Israel. Why he wants to date? And I understand he wasn't religious at this time because if I
No,
understand,
he wasn't. It wasn't. He's considered Chuba, so no.
Wow, so it's going to be interesting. Yeah, but also it's kind of a detail, important detail, because when you see someone that is now religion, you say, "Ah, I'm sure that in the past he also was religious." And then, so how a religious guy got to a Vietnamese girl? It sounds very strange. Like, I don't know.
Well, when he met me, he was kind of already in the like on the way to become religious again, because he, I remember he start to do like eating kosher. He doesn't eat pork, and he
Okay.
only eat meat that is halal, because back then he kind of he didn't understand what exactly kosher is. So he
Okay.
was he thought that kosher and halal, like halal, is the same standard. So if
Of
he,
Muslims, halal of Muslims. Okay.
yeah. So he thought that it was the same standard, like the way they cut the meat, and same thing with kosher
Okay.
meat. So we went to a restaurant, and he mostly eat the meat that have the
Okay.
halal stem.
Okay.
And then later on, he figured out that were not the right ways, and then he become vegetarian. But that's another story.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So he doesn't eat pork, and
Okay, now
just
I must
eat
say, how was your feeling to date a Israeli person? Like, I'm sure you there were differences between you about everything.
It's kind of funny, because I my family used to own a bookbinding store, and because at the bookbinding store you got access to a lot of books in young age, so I got to read on the books, including the New Testament and the Bible, whatever they call it. And I
Okay, just a
thought
question
that
about this. A question about this sentence. As a Vietnamese, you weren't Christian or something? It's
no,
okay. So,
I'm not.
the Bible and the New Testimony of the Christians, it's for you something of other people. It's not your tradition.
Yeah, because I have we have a bookbinding store, so they usually people go to our store to ask us to mend the book, or to make book, or to like you have a book, and then you want it's folded apart
Okay.
somehow, and then you give it to me, and then I will fix it for you. So that's what we do. So my dad have a very good friend from the church, like the church in Vietnam, and they always bring a lot of Bibles and books to our house to
Okay.
fix, and that's how I got to read those kind of books for him.
Okay, just a question. I don't think we get deep to this topic. So what was the tradition, the kind of religion you have in your house, with your family?
Is my mom is a Buddhist, like a ten of Buddhist. My dad is atheist. He doesn't believe in any religions,
Okay.
but we follow the Vietnamese tradition, which is more like a Buddhist way of tradition.
Okay.
So, yeah,
But let's we have lots of topics. We put it in the side. Okay, you
yeah,
come
like
from a
that.
Buddhist Vietnamese tradition. Okay.
Yes.
And also about
So,
that,
anyway.
I don't know nothing. Like, for me, you at least saw a Bible. I think I don't know anything about Buddhism in Vietnam. But okay. It says
Yeah.
there is this Buddha. I know there is a statue of Buddha. I think it's the only
Yeah,
thing I
like
know.
every we have New Year. It's our tradition, family tradition, to go to a pagoda and pray to the Buddha. So you
Okay.
can say that we are pretty Buddhist in this case.
Okay.
My mom also a vegetarian in certain days. So anyway, back to the thing. So I
Okay.
read about the Bible. I know like whole story about the Jewish and Divokah. Like this, I just didn't know the word Jewish. Like I didn't know that the English word,
You
the
thought
Jewish
that
word.
it's a fairy tale, science fiction, or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't real, and I thought the Jewish people died like 3,000 years ago. Anyway,
Okay.
that was funny.
Wow.
Anyway, so
No.
I met him, and I didn't know, I wasn't aware that he's Jewish. And then we went out together, and one of my friend in Singapore is the contestant, I think, like also really like a Christian. And then she come, and she know she heard that he's from Israel, and then she asked him if he Christian or Jewish, and then he said he's Jewish, and I was like, "What? What Jewish? I thought you guys died like 3,000 years ago."
Wow, it's so cool.
And I actually asked him to go out with me on Christmas, like to celebrate Christmas, you know. It's like kind of funny back then to see the guy was really uncomfortable going out with me during Christmas. He owned this Christmas tree hanging around it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was hilarious. The next day I went along to my friend to a church celebration in the church, because I really want to see how people celebrate Christmas outside of Vietnam back then. So I went with him, and my friend tried to convert me into Christian. And I went home and I told my husband, who back then is my boyfriend, that someone wanted to me to convert to Christian. Are they like the same, like Judaism or something? And they were like, no, it's not exactly the same. I'm like, how do I know? You guys using the same Bible, aren't you?
You have such a cool story, I must say. And
Yeah.
what I, so did he celebrate Hanukkah, your boyfriend, then back then?
I can celebrate Hanukkah. I don't remember how we celebrate Hanukkah. I think we didn't celebrate Hanukkah in Singapore, but we do celebrate Passover. Like I remember we
Wow.
celebrate Passover, yeah.
Wow, I think it's so crazy. Wow, I gave you matzot and you said, "What are you doing? You're eating this thing?" Something like that, I'm sure.
I mean, he took me to a place like the there was some synagogue in Singapore, so it took me
Okay.
there. So I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I think back then he wasn't as religious as now, so he wasn't keep the method like as strictly as he is now.
But still, if you celebrated Passover, you come to a meal and they deserve you matzot. Like, I'm sure that someone.
But listen, I don't eat bread. I eat rice, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have make anything change for me.
Oh,
Can you see
okay.
that's the thing? They work out for us because
But now I know he's not Ashkenazi.
no, he is Ashkenazi. He is
And he let
Ashkenazi,
you eat rice. You didn't ask.
yeah.
So maybe he wasn't so religious, but okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it could be
So
a cool story. Like you are looking at him. You are not eating rice. Are you crazy? What is going on with you? Okay.
Anyway, we went. I remember we went to a store and they have some burger, and one of the specialties is a burger
In cheese.
in lettuce. No, burger in lettuce, like khasa in
Ah, okay, yeah.
lettuce, and they wrap in lettuce instead of bread. And they also have burger that wrap the burger itself. The bread itself is actually rice, like rice burger.
Okay.
So I remember we went to a store, and then suddenly he ate only the burger with lettuce instead of the rice burger that we usually eat. But that's it. So I wasn't aware that it was something special about Passover back then. But
Wow.
he did ask me at some point if I'm willing to convert to Judaism. So he was making sure that I'm okay with that, or I that. That would be the plan for the
Did
future.
you
So,
when he asks you that, did you have any understanding what does it mean?
I understand that it's conversion, meaning become to Jewish, and like to become religious, like to convert to that religion. But I'm like, okay, fine. Well, what's
Tell
the
me where
big
to
deal, I
sign.
guess.
Tell me where to sign. It's everything fine. What
You know,
problem
but
to
I have a friend that get married to a Muslim guy. And she convert to Muslim, and in Muslim they convert very easily. Like
Yeah.
so, and then she told me there's nothing changed except that she doesn't eat pork anymore. And I also don't eat pork regularly, so it doesn't really matter for me. And I was okay, fine. It's just I don't have any religion. I don't really care. I don't have to give up any religions for anything. So. I was like, okay, can we? So if I convert to Judaism, which means I still can keep my lifestyle and nothing changed, right? So it's like, yeah, probably yes.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
probably yes.
Wow, cool. So how long were you dating, and And eventually you needed to decide what is going on and if you convert and all that, what will
Yeah,
be the future?
we date for a year. We live together for a year in Singapore, and then by the end he was there for work. So by the end of his term, he go back to Israel. So about a month before that, he asked me to go with him to Israel to take a look and see if I like Israel and whether it's okay for me to move there. So I went with him, and that was my first time going to Israel. And the first entrance to Israel is funny because I went to Iran before. Yeah, so I have a stamp of Iran stamp in my passport. So when I entered Israel, I was they put me aside for about thing about 2 or 3 hours, just sitting there waiting for them to check something. And yeah, and then after that I can go in. So he was like he was he told me that he was very scared that they didn't let me in because I have a Israel, I'm sorry, an Iran stamp, and they probably thought that I'm a spy or something. But yeah, I kind of funny. And then yeah, so I was in Israel for 2 weeks, and it was in July, this period. And it was pretty hard, but I like it. So he showed me all the nice things, and you know, Tel Aviv and things like that, and basically tried to convince me to move here. And so after that, we went back, and then he asked me if I want to come, and I told him that I'm not coming anyway, but we don't get married, so I got married. Yeah. So we got married in Singapore. Basically, it's like a civilized marriage.
You answered my question.
Yeah, so it was an international marriage. It's another funny thing is the marriage was done in a place called International Seafood Bazaar. Like the restaurant is called the International Seafood, and it's still only seafood. But you know,
A very Jewish, this is a very Jewish marriage.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't eat any seafood, and the place only serves lobster, not even fish, lobster, clams, and all the things. So it's funny, we went there, we have the bar, we have the reservation, and only my parents ate seafood. My husband stayed not eating anything. So we have some guy stand there like from the government, and then sign the paper, and we sign the paper at the marriage. So yeah, and then when we officially become husband and wife in civilized way, and then we moved to Israel. Yeah.
And I don't need to ask. It's weird, and you need to. We want to hear the continue of the story.
Okay. So we
Okay,
went
I have a question. I have a
to.
question. You don't have to answer, but was it hard for his family, like that he married a Vietnamese girl, or for them it was fine?
I think it was fine. I mean, if they have some problem, like they didn't say anything, and
Okay,
we've been
good to hear.
there.
Good to hear.
So yeah. So I mean, his parents is pretty, how to say, how open-minded and really not Jewish, like not, sorry, not religious at all. So and later on, his brother went to Australia and got married to a Korean girl. So yes, you know, we have like his parents have two boys, and both of them get married to Asian girls. So
Interesting. Okay.
yeah. So okay, so let's back to the story. So we went to we moved here, we live in Tel Aviv for about a year. I start studying, and I mean back
This
then we
is
start
the years 2010, and then you come to Tel Aviv when you start learning computer science.
yeah. Yeah, I actually when I came to Israel, I started studying in Shankar, at the in Ishuk Takshitim, like in design. So I mean I got accepted to Shankar, so I also study in Shankar for to design. Like I thought of becoming an artist, but apparently I know I understand I don't have a sugar daddy to become an artist. So I'm not that going to be famous anytime. So, and I prefer to do something else with my brain. My husband, it's again, my husband is the one who actually support me to go to study computer science. One time I just solved him some math problem at work, and he told me that, listen, why, I don't know why you study design, you have a brain for computer science, so go for computer science. So we went to computer science, and I got accepted, and I studied there. And meanwhile, we still keep our life like regular, like we still going out on Shabbat, we still eating in a restaurant.
Yeah,
okay. That but it's kosher.
You were a secular chilonim in Israel.
Yeah, kind of. And then after I finish my college, I start working in high tech. And then he started asking me if it's time, like if I'm ready, I feel ready to go for conversion. Because we need to do conversion before we give birth to our
okay.
kids. And I said, okay, fine, I don't mind. Like we asked around, and I have a lot of questions. Like a lot of people say that it's kaha and kaha, you know, like it's not
yeah.
a very pleasant thing. And I like,
it's
okay,
not easy as
to
become a Muslim, as your friend told you. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so he basically, we agree that after we do the conversion, I will choose the life I want to do. So basically, back then it was that, because we both was taught that the whole conversion process will be that, you know, you convert, you finish, you go back to your life, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got into the Beit Din in Tel Aviv. We start the process, and I was already pregnant with my first child. So the whole process of bit rush, because I need to finish before my kids are born.
Okay.
As a camp. So it took me a year. We started to together. We do it together. We start to do the fila in the morning and do like on this, how do you say it? A brachot for eating, or, you know, like and the keeping kosher, and then we start to keep in the Shabbat, and we have to go with the Shabbat family and have to be hosted by them. A lot of them change, and we also go for lesson twice a week or once a week to the lesson to study the Torah and to understand what the difference between Shabbat and so on. And back from that moment on, my husband become a bit more religious, like really fully religious, like now.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, my journey for conversion is pretty smooth. Like everyone I met are really nice to me and very helpful. The bedding was very, very helpful. They don't really trying to decline me or anything. So I have a meeting with them every 6 months. One 6 months, so I only one. And I went there and they asked me how it's going and on this Parashat HaShavua, what's the Parashat HaShavua and how, what I feel about this and what I understand from, just to see how I'm going with it.
Yeah, okay.
And at the end, I went to, you know, the bedding. Like, they asking you a question and then you answer and you tell them how was the experience. And at the end of that, they just say that, yeah, that's what I'm practicing now, I'm ready to be converted, and then I'm converted. It's like my whole process is like, there's nothing like people say that they will reject you, treat them, you will do this to you, they will say,
well,
make you lie hard or something.
Yeah, okay, it's a big issue in Israel because it's also different when, like, I think the most known is a Jewish guy from Russia, and they say, I'm Jewish, I know, I don't need your all things. But okay, it's a different story, let's put it there.
Yeah, I mean, it can be that, because when you come, you have already have a, like, your mind is not clear enough. Like for me, because I start the process, and I start the whole process with my mind is pretty blank. Like I know the story from before, but I don't really try to argue with anything. So I just go and learn and learn from the rabbi and see the side of the story, and then accept it. So it was more like I don't try to argue with anything.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy for you if you had a good process and you are happy with
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. I would say, like, my husband was so surprised that it was so smooth, because we were prepared mentally that we probably take at least 2 years or a year and a half to finish, and
okay.
I finished in a year. So
Nice.
exactly a year. Yeah.
Oh.
And yeah, so me and my kid was doing the what do you
Brit
call that
Mila.
one? Mikveh, the mikveh, yeah.
Okay.
And then we were converted, and after that we talk about it, and then I we agree about the fact that we want to raise the kid in a traditional way, like a religious way, because it's also match my style, because I was raised in a traditional family. It's a
Okay.
different tradition, but they still kind of the it has shared some values in it. So also it's much easier for us, because we both work in high tech, and we don't have a lot of times together, and we don't have a lot of time for the kids during the day. So we by doing this, we also keep the family close on Shabbat and stay
Okay.
together. And so yeah, I really enjoy the time when I turn my phone off on Shabbat. I do miss sometimes. I missed it, but yeah, it was kind of nice. And then I have. Yeah, another kids come out, another kids, and now all my trick is. But an interesting thing, because we live in a moshav that is not religious, so the gun is also not religious.
Okay.
So we have the, I have to prepare food for my kids, especially for the kids to eat in the
Okay,
gun.
because
Yeah, so
Gun kitchen is not kosher. Okay.
yeah, it's a big problem, because we don't have any. What you call the certain standard? Like, you say, okay, have to be kosher, but then there's so many ways to go around it. So it's make and then they just take advantage of it. So I pay for it forever. I still need to prepare food for my kids, which is annoying, but okay.
Wow. And can I ask why did you decide to live there? Like, it's a strange
in.
decision to live in Ramat Golan.
Well, my husband
Well,
originally.
I really I'm a, it's my dream. Like, if I could have the possibility to live in Ramat Golan, oh, it would be. I really like all the steams there, Yehudia, Zavitan. Wow, every time I go there, I feel like I'm in heaven. So. But still, you need to go to work. Okay, it's nice for tourism, but it's not so easy to live there and work and raise a family.
Well, first of all, my husband originally from there, so
Okay.
we already have a land there, and his parents is next to us, so his parents still live there. So
Okay.
that's a very big advantage why
Of
we
course, of
want to
course.
move there. And the second thing is, I we live in Petah Tikva, and we live in a very small apartment and so on. And for me to go with the kids, and then every day we go home, we go to the Gan Shishuim, like to the playground, the small playground, and then we finish the playground, we go back home, we are in the box, literally in the
No
box.
problem. When you said that his
Yeah.
parents live there, it was the greatest.
Yeah.
Many Israelis, you ask them where they decide to live. Okay, it's near their parents. Okay, I understand. It's the right answer. It's an understandable one. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so okay. It sounds like so at least since you get married and have your children. So now you're kind of a more ordinary story since then of just you have your look as a Vietnamese and not Israeli, but so how do you communicate with people in Israel? Is your Hebrew is good enough, but it's just not convenient for you to speak in Hebrew, or you speak English? How is it?
I can speak in he I mean I speak in Hebrew here and there now, because I work for Microsoft, so it's more international, so it's like speaking English mo mostly, but in general, I like on the day, like I go out, I see some stranger on the street, we speak in Hebrew. Well, some people like to be nice, so they speak in English, and I've also answered them in regard Hebrew, but that's never mind. At home, we kind of mixed. My kids are knows English, Hebrew, so we speak to each other in English, and they speak to their friends in Hebrew, and basically his family also speak in English, so we all speak in English.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, but I mean, I at work, when I talk to people, like I said, we have meetings, we doing most of the meetings in Hebrew, but also depends. They really depends. Like sometimes I'm feel very tired without switch to English. Or sometimes
Yeah.
like here, like the longer conversation, I'm not sure that this will be good enough to do everything in Hebrew. So I would just switch to
Yeah.
English will be more
Cool.
convenient.
Okay.
But yeah, I should work on that, by the way.
Oh, no problem. Do you have still connections with people from your past in Vietnam, and what do they
Yeah.
say about, like, I think for someone like you said about yourself, that maybe thought that Jews just doesn't exist, and now he has a friend that is a Jewish religious. It's maybe they have question, or how do they look about it? How
Well, most of my friends doesn't really care, you know, like they don't.
okay.
Like my Vietnamese friend don't really know what exactly this means by being Jewish. So I remember when I talked to them about me being Jewish, and so they say, "Ah, so now you become one of the smartest people in the world." I was like, "Okay."
And the rich one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, rich. But yeah, so that's the main reaction I got. Like, well, whenever I go, they were like, "Oh, you're Jewish. You don't look Jewish." So yeah.
Okay. Okay, interesting. Sounds that you had really a good שהיה לך תהליך טוב, כאילו כל ה... כאילו זה שינוי מאוד מפתיע. Now it was a point that for me English was
בסדר,
מעייף.
הכל
אוקיי,
טוב,
מעלה,
כאילו,
כן.
כן.
Our listener is supposed to be Hebrew speaking. Yeah, I got tired from the English. אז אני אומר, סך הכל נשמע שהיה לך כאילו תהליך מפתיע, אבל... אבל אני אומר לעצמי שלפחות עכשיו כאילו באמת יש פה כל כך הרבה פרטים מוזרים בסיפור, והיה צריך לשמוע אותו בצורה מסודרת, ואז אוקיי, עכשיו כאילו אני מבין את הסיפור. זה באמת סיפור יוצא דופן, אבל לפחות הוא קוהרנטי. כאילו אחרת זה כזה, איך בחור דתי פגש וייטנאמית, מה הם עושים ברמת הגולן, מה היא עושה במייקרוסופט, מה קרה פה, זה לא מובן בכלל, כאילו. ואז אני אומר, אוקיי.
זה סיפור, כאילו, זה סיפור להגיד, אני חושבת, שלום. אני לא יודעת, בשבילי זה ממש, קודם כל, זה המון מזל.
כן.
עכשיו, גם, אני לא יודעת איך הגעתי לפה. פשוט לא חשבתי שום דבר בדרך, כאילו, אני אוקיי, טוב. יש הזדמנות, לקחתי את זה, יש הזדמנות, לקחתי את זה, ובוא נראה, לא יודעת אם זה כן, אם זה לא משנה. בואי תקדם.
Yeah, fair, can. You can go on English to listen to English, no problem for me, but כן, יאללה, אני כבר אדבר בעברית. כאילו אני מרגיש שהגענו לשלב כזה של סיכום, אז אם אני אומר ככה מחשבות שאני רוצה לבטא את עצמי בצורה יותר ברורה, אז נוח לדבר בעברית באמת, הגיע
השלב
שלי.
כן, אני ממש משכימה אותך.
Yeah, so you will keep... It's just amazing. את תמשיכי באנגלית ואני אענה לך בעברית. ככה שנינו נהנה, את תביני אותי, אני אבין אותך, ונהיה הכי מדויקים שאנחנו יכולים.
יאללה,
סבבה. אז וואו, סיפור מגניב. אני מנסה כאילו לשאול איזה, כאילו יש לך איזה שהם תובנות, כאילו דברים שאת מרגישה שבגלל שאת באה מרקע שונה ועברת סיפור מאוד מיוחד, אז את מסתכלת את הדברים כאילו בצורה מיוחדת? יש לך איזה דברים כאלה שאת יכולה להגיד?
Well, there's a lot of things like that, you know. a lot of things that I look at them differently. If that's what you're asking. But things, for example, like the study way, like in here, and the way I really appreciate how the Israeli people study in college. Like in Vietnam, you know, teachers are the best. So So you don't go against the teacher. And here in college, you always question the teacher. So it's give me the whole idea of the whole new things about how you deal with information and things. Like you always questions and you don't trust the teacher. Yeah, I good and bad, but anyway. And yeah, in the other hand, I mean, I like to keep myself as the like politeness, the way of politeness, because I think that's much more, at least for me, I feel bad if I'm trying to be so like straightforward. A chutzpah. I mean, also chutzpah is good in some way. You balance it. That's nice. I like to, I mean, I learn a lot from Israel. Sometimes I also become very chutzpah, like, wait, but yeah, it's things like that is one of the things I got to see. A lot of things are different, like the way eating between the family and here we like prepare schnitzel for the kids, and then now for me at least we try to cook the whole meal meaning rice, soup and some dishes. Here, like, okay, just finish it, good, go for it.
Okay.
Nice stuff.
Wow. Wow, interesting. אז אולי אני כן אשמח, כי קודם כל, אני עדיין נראה לי מעכל את כל הסיפור הזה, כי הוא באמת סיפור כמו, לא יודע, כמו אגדה כזאת, לגמרי, טוב, אמרת שגם מהצד של בעלך הוא יכול לעשות מזה סדרה לנטפליקס, זה נשמע שיש לי פוטנציאל.
כן.
וכאילו, כן מעניין אותי, בקטע של הבדלי תרבויות, כאילו, וואי, זה נראה לי פשוט כל כך שונה, כאילו, לא, אז כן, אני אנסה לשאול, בכיוון הדתי, כאילו, והמסורת, אני אשמח שתוכלי להציג אולי דברים דומים ושונים בין, כאילו, איך זה לגדול בתור, במשפחה וייטנאמית, במנהגים מסוימים וחגים ותרבות, ואוקיי,
אז אני חושב את השאלה. זה ממש מעניין, כאילו, ההורים שלי, הם מבקש, כאילו, they came here to visit several times, and our family, our house is kosher house, and we keep the, you know, the kalavi and the sari separately. So the first time they came, they cannot understand why we celebrate, so separate this, and then it's only on the fork and knife to be different, and on this whole thing with the ovens. And my mom eat everything, so they eat on so far and stuff. So they brought us some gift, some dry food and stuff, like make from pork and make from things, even though I told them not to, because, you know,
yeah.
And being parents, they don't really listen to me anyway. So so they brought anyway to us, and I don't know what to do, because we cannot really make them feel bad, but in the end, we cannot keep this in our house.
Wow.
So my husband have to like kind of like, okay, just tell them about it. They're like, you go tell them about it.
Wow.
That was the first time, and after that they learned, like they saw how my husband just dumped everything to the garbage.
Wow. It seems for me so, it's really difficult, because as you said, your father is kind of the king, and now the husband of his daughter takes the food that he brought to you as a gift and move it away. Wow, it's not so easy, but
they understand that it's our house. But also it's the good thing is that my parents doesn't really eat anything with milk and mix together, that we don't eat milk in Vietnam so much.
Ah, okay.
So it's much easier to tell them to separate that from meat and milk and
okay.
things like that. But to like what kind of meat, and then they cannot find it, they don't eat any seafood and stuff. So, you know, and then sometimes they put the basari dish in the kalavi thing,
okay.
And you make it. Mistake,
you don't
again,
need to be Vietnamese to do this mistake.
Yeah.
Everyone that it knows so religious is like, it's a dish. What's the problem? Okay.
Yeah. Also, it's more smart to them about the fact that it's very hard to the eating habits is pretty hard. Like if we go and if I go to Vietnam, and it's very hard for me to find kosher food, and also at home they cannot really cook for me,
Yeah.
because you know it's just like a restriction. I mean, I can overcome it easily. Like I can just ask them to cook vegetarian food for me, and I'll just go and think. Like I have to lower down my barrier a bit when I'm in Vietnam with them, so that I can balance between these two family. But yeah, it's not easy.
It's challenging,
It's not
yeah.
easy. Yeah, it's challenging. Like, yeah. Also, the whole Shabbat thing. You know, like my parents, like they don't have the concept of not using phone and laptop on Shabbat, and they want to talk to my brother on Australia and on the weekend, which also on Shabbat. So we cannot force them to do so. And so you know, so we have a room, their room, and they keep their phone, that they have the phone on, they do things with their
Ah,
laptop.
when you visit
But
them, they it's hard. It's kind of
no,
they're doing
in
the
here,
talk.
when they are
Ah,
here in
okay,
this
yeah.
realm.
But I must tell you that what you say is, I think a lot of families that have religious and non-religious people in Israel have this conflict, and it sounds that you
Yeah.
find your way how to manage it.
Yeah, we try, you know, we're trying to not to be to respect what they're doing, and not just not trying to make it harder for both sides.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, in the family, like we make sure that things we have stay there, there's a rule, we tell them in advance. But the thing, if you are in Israel, it's easier for you to handle. When you go to outside of Israel, it's much harder. Like it's not always go according to what you want. So
Yeah, okay. So, I think we are going to finish. It was very interesting. And for last question, like, if you want to add anything that you think we missed in this interview, and you can add, you're welcome. And also, can you remember a funny story in all your process, things that you just remember, a thing that is connected to your story, and it was a funny occasion? I'm sure that there is something that you can say about it.
well, it's very hard to remember things. I mean, I have a lot of funny things.
One of them,
Let me
yeah.
try to remember. I actually don't remember anything that's that funny. I mean, my mind is very blank right now.
Okay.
Let me just think. Yeah. So it was the time when I went to no, the first time we met each other, my parents met my husband when we were still in Singapore, and they met him, and then they told they and then they say, okay, so they know that I'm dating an Israeli guy before, but they wasn't sure that they wasn't. They wasn't like pay attention so much about it. So when my husband met my parents for the first time, they were like, my dad's like, oh yeah, so your god name Yeshua. You know, Chaim, you know, then they kind of, my dad told him about the name of God.
Jesus, like he thought that he's a
No,
Christian? I don't
the
know.
other one, the Chaim. Not like Cain, not like Cain, but
Elohim?
Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. Yeah. But he, you know, he read on the in the Bible, and he wanted to show how much he know about
Okay.
Judaism. So he told my husband that, oh yeah, I know Judaism, and your God name is, you know, the whole full
Elohim.
name of God. I look him, but he like he not go. You don't
He
say the.
pronounce what it's not allowed to pronounce.
Yeah, they pronounce
Okay.
like and Ross and my husband were taken aback. Like you were like, yeah, but we don't pronounce it. So
Okay.
it got funny because my husband, my dad went on and talked about it. Luckily, that the name he pronounced it is in English and not in Hebrew, so it was less problematic back then. And then it's like, and then it's just now talking about Jesus and ask my husband about what his point of view about Jesus and things like that, and my mom were like, are you sure you want to go to Israel? It's like have a lot of bomb and war and stuff like that,
Yeah,
and
that's of course, yeah.
yeah. So yeah, it was yeah, it was funny because you know I was there and I just came back from Israel, and my mom keeps saying that I usually want to go to
Yeah.
people place in war. Like, which war are you talking about?
Well, I Israel is a very special place, I must say. Like every time that I talk with people around the world and I tell them stories from Israel, it's like we are a strange place, I must say. You know,
Well,
with that.
the culture is unique. I can tell you that the culture, Israel culture is very unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't know what to say. Yeah. Every time, like now I have I'm really into open source, and I'm talking about open source with people around the world. And then sometimes we are going to personal things, and I tell them things about Israel. It's I enjoy to see their faces. It's just a shock every time from the start. Yeah. כל
Yeah.
פעם באלה. מה זה אין לכם תחבורה ציבורית בשבת? כאילו מה אתם לא אנשים לא נוגעים בטלפון כאילו כל השבת? כאילו מה אתה
מה זה
צוחק על ה...
שבת?
No, they
מה
don't
זה
know anything,
שבת?
of course, but you know, as your friend told you, okay, to be Muslim, you sign something, you don't eat something. Okay, it's not so different, but to be converted to Judaism took you a year. It's like, yeah, זה כמו איזה קורס, זה כמו לעשות תואר, להפוך להיות יהודי. זה לא איזה, בסדר, חותמים על משהו. Yeah,
But
it's a
serious,
very
like,
serious business.
yep. I mean, but then afterwards, it's like it's hard for you to go back. Like, I don't know. After I finished my conversion, I'm more likely to stay there. I mean, now I don't do the tefillah anymore. It's just because I'm lazy. But yeah. But yeah, it's like a serious study, so you know this thing, and I like to think it's more like a tradition, so you know to think like the things like that, so you can explain to the kids if the kids know
Yeah.
want to know.
Nice. Okay. It was a very interesting interview, I must say. And now I'm happy that if I will meet you again in Facebook and all that, okay, I understand what is the story of Maya and what is this Vietnamese girl doing in Israel? Yeah, I don't have this question anymore.
It always have to start with a guy.
Why
I would
lie?
like to say, like, something that when they ask someone asked me why are you here in Israel, I always answer like it's always start with a
Ah, okay.
guy.
Nice. Okay, so let's finish the recording. Thank you very much. I'm sure the listener also will really like to hear the story. And yeah,
Thank you for
everyone will.
having me.
Yeah, it was great.